Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, my man Ladarius here with you on this Friday morning as well. Talking college football, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Mitch Light from The Athletic. Mitch, what's going on, brother? How are we doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too. And I got a quick question for Joe before we start. I asked him the other day what he's doing for Thanksgiving. He said, I think going to his sister's, eating all of her food, wrecking her house, and not cleaning up. Was that mission accomplished?
Well, Katie's cousin, but...
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
No, okay, mission good. More than accomplished. So got right out of there. Looking, you know, it's one of those, hey, can I help you? No? Okay, all right, well, thanks, guys. All right, we'll see you later. You know, like you have to.
I see Rex would be a master at that. Okay, good work. Oh, yeah. I'm proud of you, Joe.
Exactly. Now, listen, I got not a question for you, but a request. Do not tell Darren, Donick, and Chase that you're on the show with us. Now, they're very possessive of their guests, but I think that you should be our guest.
Yeah.
You're my editor.
I would never cheat on. Well, I guess I'm cheating on them, but they don't listen to me anyway. So no worry about that.
That's right. Mitch, appreciate you taking time to join us today. So, obviously, we've got a lot to get into with you, but we'll start with Vanderbilt and Tennessee. And just start on the Vanderbilt side of things. What do you make of the job that Clark Lee has done so far in his first year at Vanderbilt? And, obviously, you know, 31.5-point underdogs in this game heading into the game against Tennessee. What has to go right for Vanderbilt to hang around in this game, in your opinion?
Yeah, and if you would have said in the offseason that this game would be a 31.5-point underdog and I mean, one team would be, obviously you'd probably think Tennessee, but I don't think anyone thought it would be that high, but that's a credit. It's a credit to what, you know, Josh Heupel has done at Tennessee, obviously. You know, a lot of things have to go well for Vanderbilt. I think a big key is they got to get up to a good start. Even the games they've played well, their defense has just given up quick touchdowns. The South Carolina game, a game they probably should have won. I think they're down 10-0 after the first two series, and it was almost 17-0 before an interception. Kentucky a couple weeks ago. Ole Miss last week. Ole Miss scores in about three plays. You know, this team, this offense is not built to come from behind, especially with a team like Tennessee, which, you know, basically no one has slowed down. I think the key is going to be defensively. They are on an amazing run of forcing turnovers, which is usually not sustainable, but it seems to be for this team. So the ball's definitely going to have to bounce the right way. Mike Wright's going to have to take care of the ball. Some explosive plays to counter what Tennessee is going to do, but it's obviously going to be a tall order for the Commodores.
Do you take from their performance, Mitch, at Ole Miss, anything that – because, look, I mean, I'm watching Ole Miss last night, and I'm like, gosh, Vanderbilt did a better job against these guys than the Mississippi State is at home in this Egg Bowl. Anything from that, both that and also the way Vanderbilt ran the ball, and I thought Mike Wright, you know, made some really nice plays in that game. Like, do you take anything from that, you know, leads you to believe that they can – make this a lot closer than people probably think?
The premise of the question, basically, I was impressed by the Ole Miss performance falling behind. There's different, like Kentucky game, the scores look similar, the stats might look similar, but the Kentucky game was completely over. Tennessee's Vanderbilt scored a couple times late to make it semi-respectable. The Ole Miss was actually more of a game, and I think the announcers calling the game, Jordan Rogers and those guys, made the point that with Matt Corral banged up, Ole Miss had a lot of injuries. With a short week, you know, Lane Kiffin wanted to be up 31-0 at half in Cruz, and they had to play basically to the final whistle. So I do give Vanderbilt credit for playing well, making some adjustments defensively, again, forcing some turnovers there. So Mike Wright has surprised me. I mean, we all thought that Ken Seals was going to win the job out of camp because of his ability to throw the ball. But when you've got an offensive line that has trouble protecting in a running back situation where a lot of guys are banged up, Mike Wright brings that element, obviously, that Ken Seals doesn't, and he's been much better throwing the ball than I ever imagined.
Mitch, how surprised are you, maybe not from a record standpoint, but from an eye test standpoint of what Tennessee and Josh Heupel have been able to do in year one?
I think that was a great way to phrase it, Robbie, because if you would have told me they were bowl eligible, I would say, yeah, I could see that. Like, not to knock South Carolina. South Carolina is bowl eligible. But you watch them, and they've had some impressive wins, but they barely beat Vanderbilt. They got run off the field to Texas A&M. But if you watch Tennessee kind of like we do, week in and week out, this is a good team. And they've moved the ball on everyone, which is very impressive. The thing that has, not surprising, but I was interested about Heupel, and maybe we made too much of this stat, but, you know, that great year he had at Missouri as the offensive coordinator, if you dug deep into the numbers, they put up tons of points and yards against bad teams and really struggled against good teams. And maybe it wasn't fair to compare that to this, but I was wondering, like, earlier in the year when they're moving the ball against some bad teams, okay, let's see him do it against good teams. Well, except Georgia, they've done it against everyone. So I've been very impressed with the injuries, just a big playability. You know, any coach will tell you it's hard to move the ball up and down the field consistently. When you can score in two or three plays like they did in Missouri, that's impressive. So I've been very surprised and impressed with what Josh Heupel has done.
Did you see today that Tyon Evans got into the portal?
I did not see that. I slept late, got up for this interview, and Joe Rexroad breaking news. But that's pretty surprising, isn't it?
We're trying to figure it out. I mean, I guess I thought of, and you can, you know, take this to a larger discussion about the portal. Like, does a guy like Tyon Evans look at it like, man, next year, if he's going to play college football next year? I mean, does he have to play college football next year, by the way? Because I think he's actually going to play on Sundays. But if he's going to play college football next year, does he have this, okay, I'd like to go to a team that could make the playoff. Like, I've showed enough this year that, you know, maybe in Oklahoma, would just like they took Eric Gray, would like me. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think
– be careful what you wish for would be my – like, I'm looking at his stats right now. 6.5 yards per carry, 6 touchdowns. I mean, you want an offense that features your talent, and I don't know how he could sit there and look around and say, I'm going to find somewhere better. And you would like to think that he's bought in. I'm not saying he's not bought in, but like, hey, look how much better this team got this year. Next year, year two, we can make this. So, yeah, that's very surprising. Obviously, we should probably not be overly surprised by any portal moves nowadays. But, yeah, that's surprising.
Mitch Light from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mitch, what did you make of the way the Dan Mullen era at Florida came to an end, and how attractive is that job right now in your mind?
Very, very surprised. I have been a big Dan Mullen proponent over the years. You know, I think very good coach, did a great job at Mississippi State. We kind of saw when he went to Florida the lack of recruiting success. A lot's been made of that, but rightfully so. I mean, there's a big difference. Like, people could say, oh, he was signing top 10 classes. But when your teams that you need to beat out are, like, adding 8-9 top 100 players per recruiting class and you're adding one, you're not going to catch up. And Dan Mullen being the, you know, offensive guru that he is, some years they can overcompensate for that, like last year when he had Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts. But he was not going to win a national championship the way he was building that program, the way he was recruiting. I think it's a very, very attractive job. I just got into this discussion the other day comparing it to LSU. Like, where would you rather coach? The pros for LSU, the last three coaches there won a national championship, and you could argue a couple of them weren't exactly known as to be X's and O's geniuses. Now, Florida's had coaches win national championships, but they've also had more coaches flame out. You know, Ron Zook, Jim McElwain, Will Muschamp. I think this isn't exactly the question, but if you asked me if I could coach at Florida or LSU, I'd probably pick Florida because the SEC East is far more manageable. You know, Georgia is as good as it's ever been. Tennessee appears to be getting better. But other than that, I mean, if you're Florida, are you scared of any of those programs other than Georgia? Probably not. If you're in the SEC, and I know coaches don't think like this, they all have big egos and they can win everywhere, but I think the competition in the East isn't nearly as great as the West.
So is Cincinnati good, Mitch? Are they in? Are they safe? Are they okay?
They're terrible, Joe. They should know. you know what? I was on the Cincinnati's a good team, but not playoff worthy team for train for a while. Last couple of weeks, though, watching some of the other teams kind of struggle a little bit and what they did to SMU. Now, I know SMU had a lot of injuries. I think the resume is not complete. I know it's kind of a cop-out. I mean, they play East Carolina today. At East Carolina, they're much better. Second-year coach Mike Houston's done a really good job there. And then they got to play Houston. So if they win these next two games convincingly, I'm going to be – but you also have to – I'm kind of thinking as I go through this, like, what happens if Oklahoma State blows out Oklahoma and then Baylor? I mean, I don't know. It's very difficult to say. I think Cincinnati is really good. I think if they – here's what's going to happen, too. If they make the playoff and they get blown out in the first round, everyone's going to say, oh, they didn't belong. Well, everyone gets blown out in the playoff. That's what's
exactly.
wrong with sport. It's the 1-4 games and a lot of 2-3 aren't close. Like, I'm kind of rambling here, but everyone says that about Notre Dame. Well, the years that Notre Dame made it, put anyone at that 4 spot. They were going to get blown out too. So that's why I'm pro-expansion. Not necessarily that I think we're going to have different teams win it. I just think we're going to see it. It's going to be more fun and more competitive playoff games.
Mitch, last thing for you here. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss just won 10 games for the first time in the history of their program. Is Lane Kiffin still going to be the coach at Ole Miss next year, or is he going somewhere else?
I'd say no. No inside knowledge, no, just a hunch. Just the way the guy operates. I think there's so many attractive job openings. And with the way, and again, I go back to my statement about coaches have big egos. Like, I don't think they think like this, but with the way the SEC West is, what if he goes 7-5 2 years in a row, and there's then, you know, do you look back and say, I had the opportunity to coach at Florida? I mean, I don't think Florida's going to hire him, but you know what I'm saying. I think he might look at this as the best opportunity to leave. You know, Ole Miss is a solid program. They've enjoyed success under different coaches. Sometimes they've bent the rules a little bit, but there is a reason they're the only SEC West team, I believe, that's never, you know, played in the SEC championship game. It's just more difficult to sustain success there.
Actually, one more fast one, Mitch. You've had the privilege of editing probably about 6,000 words for me just this week. How much of a dreamy week is that for you?
Privilege is an interesting word, by the way.
Not too many typos, right?
No. Very clean. Enjoy it immensely, Joe.
This is your chance to take a shot at Ari Wasserman publicly, if you'd like to.
I love Ari. I love all the writers I work with, Joe.
There you go. Way to be diplomatic. We love you, Ari.
Very nicely done. Mitch Light from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Mitch, appreciate you, man. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Hey, guys. Anytime. Take care.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch Light from The Athletic, who has to deal with Rex Road almost as much as I do, maybe a little bit more.
I mean, I hope Ryan Porth was listening. You know, either of those guys could fire me on the spot from both jobs. You
that's
know?
Right.
I should probably be careful.
We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Mitch had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick 3 football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with 2 locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. We are live today at the Patron Platinum Club here at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators taking on the New Jersey Devils coming up a little bit later tonight at 5 o'clock. Pregame starting at 4 o'clock with Darren McFarland here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Mitch Light from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. We'll get a little bit more into Tennessee and Vandy coming up here in just a few minutes. But I want to start with you on the last question that I had for Mitch. Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss, they get it done last night in the Egg Bowl. They are 10-2. They've won 10 games for the first time in the history of that program. I ask you the same question I asked Mitch Light. Is Lane Kiffin coaching Ole Miss next season? And if not, where do you think he might end up?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I don't feel great about the prediction, but I would make the prediction that he'll be somewhere else. And I think Mitch is right that Florida is not going to hire Lane Kiffin. Don't think LSU will hire Lane Kiffin. So my guess would be Miami. But then again, there is always USC again. Would they like to try again?
Yeah.
They'd like to try again with Lane. I'm guessing no. Miami, and it's an interesting comparison. Miami, that program, you know, it's tougher to win there than maybe some people might think. But I do think that Lane could be in that. See, kind of like I thought with James Franklin going to USC, by the way. A really good salesman of program. You know, someone who's going to get excitement going for a program. I think Lane Kiffin and James Franklin are both very good at that. And you can go – now, you can go, I think, 8-4, 9-3 at Ole Miss and be fine. But – a lot of these coaches do ask the question, okay, this job and this job, at which place do I have a better chance to win a championship, to at least get to the playoff? I think you could make the case that Miami would be the answer. You're in certainly a much weaker conference overall, and you're also surrounded by the best high school talent in the country. So that would be my guess. And I don't know where Miami is on there. I mean, there's so many hot boards out there, I can't keep track of them all. I mean, there's so many jobs open, and there aren't a ton of, super exciting candidates. And so many of the super exciting candidates in the past 4 or 5 years have flamed out. So that'd be my guess.
I mean, he's familiar with the area. He's familiar with the area from his time at FAU. It could be the return of Joey Freshwater down there. That'd be something.
Well, I hope Lane, like me, has a nice glass of water and goes to bed at like 9:30 more often these days. But that's the type of place that can rejuvenate you, I guess.
Yes. I agree. I don't know. Maybe I just don't want to, but I can't picture him as the head coach at Florida. But if you're Florida, like, why would you not take a look at Lane Kiffin? Like, to me, of the candidates that are out there, Lane Kiffin, pretty good candidate in my mind.
Yeah. Well, the reporting around the Florida job is definitely centered a lot around Billy Napier from Louisiana, who's done a very good job. And this is where I'm going to fail here on remembering who reported this, I think, yesterday. But someone reported that Napier is the focus with Matt Campbell as the backup if it doesn't work out with Napier. We'll see. And I hear you. Look, at this point with all the stuff with Lane, whatever it is, immaturity away from the building or, NCAA stuff or whatever. At this point, I think we're past that, right?
I think so.
There are much more egregious situations out there with coaches who get a chance because they can win, and he can win. So I would agree with you. I would think that Florida should look at him. But for whatever reason, some people, he seems to be someone, I hear this about UT every time. Nah, there's some people there that they will not do it. But who's still left in any position of power from when he was there, But you do have trustees who have a stake. You do have boosters who have a stake. And I think that he just has this rub people the wrong way thing at some places.
Yeah, and I also think it's fair to say, as much as he still is a troll, and he is on Twitter. A fantastic troll in the press conferences as well. I do think it's fair to say that he's grown up a little bit since his time at Tennessee. I think that's pretty obvious. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. Maybe he just loves Ole Miss, and he ends up staying at Ole Miss and winning 7 or 8 games every year, and every now and then building a team that can win 10. But I don't know. It just kind of feels like Lane Kiffin is always looking for that next step ahead.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ole Miss has – in recent years, I think the ceiling at Ole Miss has been lifted. Now, how Hugh Freeze lifted it, is one thing. But, again, he's in the SEC. I mean, it's just are you sloppy?
By the way,
not?
Congrats to Hugh Freeze for his contract extension the other day to Liberty. Yeah. Good for him.
That's – honestly – there's a guy I thought absolutely would somewhere in the domino effect here. Yeah. Maybe not. I don't think we would get one of these big jobs, but he's a guy I would look at and say, okay, he's going to then jump in. Well, not at Ole Miss, obviously, but he's going to jump in somewhere else. But apparently not. So, congrats, Hugh.
Way to go, buddy.
How many Vols fans? I asked the question last week. The whole, what if you could just take Dan Mullen right now?
Yeah.
Instead of Heupel. And I think there's a lot of no out there. What about Hugh? All you Vols fans who were so into Hugh Freeze, any interest still?
Well, the first ever poll question that you did on Twitter was about Hugh Freeze. He won the poll. Won the poll question as the coach that Tennessee fans would most like to have. Hugh Freeze.
Yeah. I was hoping that more people would vote for Tom Allen.
Which, by the way.
His star faded this year. But again, it's one bad year. He's done a really good job. He's good.
Ben on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I predict get ready to add Harbaugh to the carousel if they lose to Ohio State again. If that happens, Harbaugh goes to LSU. I don't think Jim Harbaugh's getting fired.
Yeah, is that what the suggestion was, that he's getting fired, or that he would leave for LSU? Yeah, he won't get fired. If they lose to Ohio State and they're 10-2 and playing a New Year's Six Bowl, you're not firing Harbaugh. I understand. We're way past, like, yes, he didn't come. He has not come close to the ridiculous forecasts that accompanied him to Michigan. But I mean, look at his record. It's interesting because his record actually is better than Franklin's at Penn State. And one is perceived as like, wow, really good job. And one is perceived as what a disappointment. But that's a media thing, because so many people who cover this sport were like, Natty in 3 years. And it's like, have you paid any attention to Michigan? But he's done pretty well, and he's not going to get fired after this year. Now, a lot of people picked them to go like 7-5.
Yeah.
And Harbaugh at LSU, I think Harbaugh's at Michigan or he's in the NFL.
I would say you're probably right about that. It is interesting now, because with James Franklin signing a 10-year contract at Penn State, I had pretty much just kind of assumed he was going to USC. I guess not. So USC's job is still open. LSU's job is still open. Florida's open as well. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and who ends up, particularly at LSU and USC, because I don't really know who the leaders in the clubhouse are for those two at the moment.
Well, so Dave Aranda was certainly the name that was gathering momentum would obviously make sense coming back to LSU, but apparently that's not going to happen.
Yep.
That one's boy. And Jimbo, no way. So I don't know what the heck LSU's going to do. And of all these jobs, I mean, that's a – you can win a natty there. We've seen mediocre coaches since Saban. We've seen three coaches starting with Saban, and – I'd say two are pretty mediocre when Natty's there. And honestly, like Mel Tucker, who actually did sign the 10-year $95 million deal at Michigan State.
A lot of money.
I mean, you take him off the table. I thought that he was there with Saban. He's been in Georgia and Alabama. That's an interesting one. I have no idea what the heck they're going to do.
I don't either. And it's getting to the point where you got to make a decision here in the next few days, really, because – you're about 2 weeks away from national early signing period. Like, you've got to have a coach by then.
You would think. I mean, there's some like, hey, just come to LSU and it will work out well for you.
That can work, I think, for some Louisiana kids.
Yeah.
And you know, I think there's a certain degree of those that are probably going to LSU no matter what. But it'd be nice to have a coach.
I would think so. Yeah.
We'll continue the discussion on college football. Get into the Vols and Vandy coming up tomorrow next. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Make sure you're tuning in later this morning for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you at 11:45 today. So 11:45 today. Preds Pick to Click. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the New Jersey Devils at Bridgestone Arena coming up later tonight. 5 o'clock tonight, the puck drop at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Devils at Bridgestone Arena coming up later tonight. So hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We've got Call Your Shot Friday coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Right now talking Vandy and Vols. And look, obviously Tennessee a heavy favorite in this one. 31.5 points the line right now on Fanduel Sportsbook. We mentioned the Tyon Evans news. If you missed it, Tyon Evans announced that he has entered himself into the transfer portal. Tennessee running back, I would think both of us would agree, probably Tennessee's best running back, putting his name in the transfer portal. So some very interesting news on that regard. And like I said earlier in the show, the timing of that is quite confusing to me, just given even if you do want to transfer after this year, you got one game left. Like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me what's going on.
Yeah, no. I mean, right. Like the timing, I know sometimes with these things, it's like, oh, yeah, there's an obvious explanation, and I just hadn't thought of it, but I, no. I can't. You know, sometimes, I mean, I think sometimes these are explained by something happens and the young person kind of, you know, does something rash.
Yeah.
That may, maybe it's just that simple, but that's actually a question that I asked earlier and did not catch up on. How many years, where is Tyon Evans in terms of being able to play professionally? And I don't know, you know, I honestly don't know how he would be evaluated, but I've got to think he's talented enough to, you know, to get a look in the NFL. You know, but I also would say he would be one of those guys who come back for a year and do a completely healthy year, and have a huge year, and then you actually improve your prospects pretty significantly.
Well, he's a junior, so
yeah, so
he
can,
could go.
He can go. Which again, if that, like, if I heard that, I mean, especially at that position, to me,
sure.
Like, for example, you know, Kenneth Walker at Michigan State, he's had one great year. I mean, go right now. You are, you know, you have put yourself in position. That position is the shortest shelf life in the NFL by far. Any chance you have to get paid playing that position, you got to go. So that would make more sense to me if
sure.
he said, yeah, you know, I'm gonna go to the draft. I think he could be on a team next year, absolutely, in the NFL. Yeah, but transferring, I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with is what I was talking about earlier, the thinking that, like, going to one of these more successful programs helps you. I don't know.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jeff in Kingston Springs texting in. I know a lot of Tennessee fans hate Lane Kiffin, but in my opinion, the worst break that's happened to Tennessee football since they fired Fulmer was the USC job coming open. I firmly believe that had that not happened, Kiffin would have the Vols in contention for the SEC East. This is coming from Jeff in Kingston Springs.
I mean, I think Lane was going to win at Tennessee. Now, there are definitely some people who were there then who will say, yes, but he also was way too loose and fast with some things that were probably going to get Tennessee in some trouble. So, yeah, I have no idea. I think, and even if that's the case, you can survive that a lot of times and can keep winning. So, no, I think he would have done well. And I agree. I mean, it was just terrible luck for Tennessee because I actually take him at his word that he had himself, that was a different job than it is now. That it was a decade removed from winning at all. It was not now where it's a longer climb. And he was, I think he would have stayed and done well. And I don't think there were very many jobs that wouldn't have been able to get him out of there. It just so happened, obviously, that's like his home. And, of course, it didn't work out well for him. I think he's also, maybe the USC failure, maybe that does put a little pause on he was just going to rip through the world in Knoxville. But he had a good staff.
Yep.
They were recruiting, and he's a good coach.
Ed O is in there breaking projector screens and throwing them up against the wall, getting people fired up.
And then saying, hey, everybody, don't go to class.
Hey, Dave, come on down. Come on with us to USC. Get on this plane. UT legend, Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
Speaking of UT, taking on Vanderbilt tomorrow, what does Vanderbilt have to do, in your opinion, to hang around in this game, make it a game? What is the key for Vanderbilt making this a game heading into late third quarter, early fourth quarter?
Offense. You know, like Mitch said, they have been, you know, they have been forcing turnovers defensively, which doesn't really match up with what they have on defense and how, you know, really overmatched they are by a lot of SEC teams. But I just don't think you can count on that. You got to have that too. But, I mean, you got to have some luck. You know, you need a big return. You need a tip pass that's caught at the line. I mean, you need stuff like that to happen. But offense is the answer, and it's running the football, which I'm going to be interested to see if they can do that. I was very surprised. I was surprised by their defensive success against Ole Miss, but also I was surprised and impressed by what the offensive line did. And as Clark Lee told us the other day, you know, they've had some running success outside, but that was between the tackles, running straight at a team with those two young backs, and you know, that was impressive. That's what you got to do. You got to run the ball. you got to convert third down sometimes with Mike Wright running around and just, you know, and just scrambling out of the pocket and make it, that's going to happen. He's electric, and he is throwing the ball better. And if they have just like one of those epic offensive days against a defense that has overachieved, but is you know, a defense that can be scored on, a defense that can be moved on, then that's the formula. And I still don't know if it'll be enough. You have to be darn near. I mean, you have to be peak performance offensively, because I don't see a lot of stops happening for Vanderbilt against Tennessee.
I don't either. And Josh Heupel, for the most part, and I would even somewhat include Georgia to begin the game, he's been able to scheme things wide open at the first part of games this year. I mean, they had to play against Georgia. It was like the second play of the game. It was, I can't remember if it was Peyton or Tillman, but I mean, there's nobody on the side of the field with him. He's wide open. And Josh Heupel has been unbelievable with that so far this year. I think it's going to be tough sailing for Vanderbilt to hang in there defensively in this game. So, you know, Tennessee putting up 55-60 would not really surprise me all that much in this game. If you're Vanderbilt, you're going to have to score along with them.
Yeah, well, and that's why you're going to have to score, but also keep the ball the heck away from them so they can't get to that, you know? I mean, Vanderbilt's, like, ideal score is something like, you know, to pull off the shocker would be like, you know, Vanderbilt 38-35.
Yep.
Something like that, you know, where you have some drawn-out possessions that also still end in touchdowns, in points for sure, but touchdowns ideal. Like, that's the thing. The Ole Miss game, and Mitch Light was exactly right. You know, the Kentucky game was a joke. I mean, it was 31-3 at halftime, and then you get some garbage time points. The Ole Miss game, Vanderbilt could have led at half had they finished in the red zone. They were settling for field goals on really good drives, so that's got to change too. You got to be darn near perfect in the red zone. You know, red zone defense against Tennessee also is, and that's the thing that also impresses me. I agree with you on Heupel and the scripting and just the setting up of plays and everything. But like, you know, they've been so good in the. You'll get offenses sometimes. You're like, okay, is that a red zone offense? Yeah, they're fine.
They're good. Speaking of Ed O, closing out the end of an era tomorrow, LSU, Texas A&M. Maybe he can get bowl eligible. They're 5-6.
And,
one more.
And I know that he's been recruiting for them still.
Yeah.
And he would coach in a bowl game. Did he say that,
I
too?
I think he would, yeah.
Yeah, I think he would, yeah. Well, just enjoy those last moments with Coach O. What's he going to do next year?
Probably sit back and count his money for a little while, and I don't know. I'm sure he'll end up on Saban's staff somehow.
The Nick Saban coaching rehab program.
Probably so.
Dan Mullen and Coach O together.
Intern Ed.
Why not? Yeah.
Ed, I need you to go down to Dreamland, pick up some barbecue for me. Can you do that?
He will not have those slacks. He won't have those slacks pressed anywhere near the way Butch had them.
No, he will not. Join Chase McCabe tomorrow at Jonathan's in Murfreesboro at 2911 Medical Center Parkway and catch the SEC Game of the Week, which is Missouri taking on Arkansas. Enjoy some great food, beer specials, and grab some game swag as well. When we come back, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Vandy and Tennessee in action coming up tomorrow. The Preds in action, two games this weekend. And, of course, the Titans and the Patriots coming up on Sunday. Nashville SC, big playoff match on Sunday as well. So a lot going on. Everything on the table for your called shots on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Joe Rexroad, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Well, let's see. Let's go to the tape. For me, I had the Golden State Warrior. The Golden State Warrior?
Yeah.
The Golden State Warriors will win the whole freaking thing, which is going to be accurate. So let's keep
happens.
Reminding you all of that.
Klay Thompson very excited for himself coming back in.
What did he do? Did he put some on Insta or something? Did he do a TikTok or something?
Look how good they are now, and I'm not even out there yet. Like, okay, well, let's see if you could still play basketball before we start doing that.
Man, the hate, I love this. The haterade, your haterade tears are going to be delicious all year. Deontay Foreman will get 100 yards? No. I had Ola Adeniyi with 2 sacks? No. I had the Vikings will shock the Packers? Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, baby. I also had Anthony Firkser will score a touchdown. Ding, 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 ding.
And by the way, right. I didn't say
we'll catch a touchdown pass. I said we'll score a touchdown. So
you did.
I got three right.
Nicely done.
The Dubs are winning. Robbie, you had the Preds 5-1 over Montreal. That did not happen. Titans will rush for 125-plus against the Texans. That actually should have happened.
But it did.
The game did, yeah. Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdown passes for the Vikings. Is that right?
He had four.
There you go. So you got that one. And Vanderbilt, 17 or more points versus Ole Miss. You got that exactly right. Nice job. So a couple for us. Well, two for you, three for me. Michelle, Jeff Simmons, 3 sacks, no. Adrian Peterson, 2 touchdowns, no, and he's gone. Titans shut out the Texans, no. Kentucky, 47-0 over New Mexico State. I honestly don't know what the final score was. What was the score, Michelle?
Let me check really quick.
Did they actually win?
I'm sure they did.
I can't believe you don't remember the score.
Relax,
of your beloved Wildcats.
She's moved on to basketball season.
Well, speaking of that, she also had
scores 56-16.
Okay, so she was right in the neighborhood. Kentucky beats Ohio by 40. And the kid whose name I have to get better at pronouncing has 21 rebounds. I honestly don't know if you're right on either of those two.
I wasn't.
What was the final?
It was like they won by like 10 or something.
Ohio's good. Yeah. Ohio's legit. Ohio beat Belmont soundly. By the way, Belmont, huge win yesterday in the ESPN events game over, who the heck did they beat?
Drake.
They beat Drake. That's a really good team. They get Iona today. Iona upset Alabama. They should have been. I thought they'd play Alabama if they got the win. Iona, Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
Against Belmont today at 5:30 on ESPNU. So don't forget that. And now we got to call some shots.
There we do. We have to call some shots. Michelle Knezevic, kick us off for today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday.
Okay, it's rivalry week in college football. I hope Junie is listening because he's a big Louisville fan.
Oh, boy.
The Governor's
Cup is going back to Lexington. Kentucky holds Louisville to 10 points, beats them 27-10.
Wow.
And Louisville's favored by 2.5. It's in Louisville. So that's my first one.
Throwing it out there, 27-10. I like it.
Okay, and that's a little preview for Pigskin Pick on one of my picks.
I'm sure it is.
Philip Forsberg read Vingan's article, and he will have a hat trick tonight.
There you go.
So in your face, Vingan.
Forsberg saying, trade this, Vingan. Getting a hat trick in there. I like it.
Okay, two more. The Lions will have one win by the end of the NFL season.
Oh, they're going to get one.
They will get one win.
That's a call shot.
That is a shot. Do you care to specify?
Nope.
Okay.
Because they're just going to get one.
All right.
Dan Campbell's going to do it, and I expect tears at the press conference.
Oh, okay. There'll be some of those.
Finally, big college basketball matchup tonight. Both teams 6-0, Gonzaga, Duke.
Yeah.
Gonzaga beats Duke by 25-plus. Book it.
Wow.
Okay?
25-plus.
First of all, your hate for Duke continues to
grow.
Oh, wow. Those two shot that Vingan for this one.
Yes. Trade this, Vingan, and also... Chet Holmgren in your face, Vingan.
Those are my shots. Hopefully I get like one this week. I don't think I really got any last week.
So. Very nicely done. Joe Rexrode, your called shots of the week.
Vanderbilt football will be down by single digits in the fourth quarter Saturday. So 9 or fewer points at some point in the fourth quarter Saturday.
Okay.
I think that's a shot.
I think you're correct.
Cedric Tillman will catch 3, count them 3, touchdown passes from Hendon Hooker.
Okay.
Mike Wright, I'm very heavy on the Vanderbilt UT game. Mike Wright will run for 80 plus yards. And remember, in college, which is stupid, but sacks are taken off rush total for quarterbacks. It should be a passing yardage stat like in the NFL, but it's not. So even with sacks, he will run for 80 plus yards in this game.
Okay.
Dontrell Hilliard will lead the Titans in total offense Sunday at New England.
Okay. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Probably not great.
Okay.
And Anthony Firkser will score a touchdown. And by the way,
are you still going to do that now that he's got one?
I mean, I got to stay on the roll now, don't I?
You do.
That's the last time he was there. Huge playoff touchdown catch from Ryan Tannehill. I'm just saying.
That is true. I like that. All right. My call shots for the week. The Nashville Predators will win both games this weekend.
Mm.
Both. They're winning today against New Jersey. They are flying to Colorado tomorrow and winning that game as well. And the game that David Riddick plays, shutout. Shutout for David Riddick.
Wow.
Big David Riddick fan here on the program.
I guess so.
Shutout for David Riddick.
Those are shots.
Ryan Tannehill
does not throw an interception this weekend. There is not an interception that is thrown by Ryan Tannehill, which, based on the way he's played so far, I think qualifies as a shot.
That's a shot.
I really hope you get that one.
Sadly for him and the Titans, that is a shot.
Hendon Hooker accounts for seven touchdowns against Vanderbilt. I think he gets a couple on the ground and throws five.
Jeez.
So that's how I'll span it out there. Okay. Seven touchdowns for Hendon Hooker. And finally, Nashville SC wins 3-1 against Philadelphia and moves ahead in the MLS Cup playoffs. 3-1 win for Nashville SC coming up on Sunday.
That's a shot too. Not that I think that they won't win, but that's a big 3-2, 3-2 on the road, and that is, by the way, 4:30
yes.
Sunday.
Yes.
So check it out, 94.9.
Yeah, and it's right after the Titans game. It could be a big Nashville sports weekend. Preds twice. So Preds tonight, Preds Saturday. Then you got Vandy and Tennessee. Then you got Titans and Patriots, and then you got Nashville SC. So really what I'm saying is there's not much of an excuse for people to leave the couch much this weekend.
Yep, it's a buffet. It's always a buffet.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in. The Vols put up 60 on Vanderbilt, and the Titans go on the road and shock the Patriots. The defense and special teams will both have a touchdown in this game. So Matt from Camden calling 60 points for the Vols and the Titans going on the road, shocking the Patriots, and both defense and special teams scoring a touchdown in this game.
They might need that. That might be part of the necessary formula.
That is potentially part of the formula. Adam Vingan texting in. What the hell, Michelle? This is coming from Adam Vingan.
It's all fair and love and war.
That's right.
By the way, Katie Rexroad very much laughed at Vingan saying, Caroline, your Thanksgiving take is stupid. Good stuff.
I take it Caroline didn't show up there today?
She did not show up today. Yeah. Brennan actually said he was going to, and then I went to him this morning. He's like, no. I'm like, yeah, I'm shocked.
I'm very surprised that you've elected to sleep. This has been Call Your Shot Friday. We do this every Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.